Here's the meadowlark bird saying good evening to everybody. And let's go to Romans chapter 7. I'm just going to continue this. Why would people give up on following Paul? You know, there's all sorts of possible reasons. Remember, listeners, that it's all just possible reasons, things I've thought of. I just thought of another one, too, here. Okay, so Romans chapter 7, verse 24, not 25, but verse 24. Paul says he's a wretched man. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So we know that our body is never going to be good enough, or it's full of sin. We know that. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We're going to look at faint tonight. You know, just kind of faint. You just wear out. You kind of pass out. You're just not going to do it. You're just running out of steam. And we have to stay strong because we're going to be under persecution. We're going to have all these things going after us. As we get closer to the tribulation, people are going to think we're in the tribulation. They're going to think that we're Laodicea. We've got to talk to them about that. They're going to think that this is God's judgment. We've got to show them that that's not possible yet. We have to explain rightly dividing. Then we still got to end up explaining King James only. That's where it all starts anyway. Things after things after things. And we just wear down. We faint. We're fainting. And I was just thinking about this verse the other night. And let's look at this thing in a different manner. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. So that's from our Bible reading. And we know what we should do. So we study, we read, we know what we should be doing. It's the same battle that Paul had. Because his mind wants to do the right thing. And the right thing is to follow Paul. And I should say the risen Savior through Paul the Apostle. But with the flesh that we have, it serves the law of sin. Now, that's tough enough. But let's switch that around. If I can do this, because I had it down, I get it mixed up here. What if we were to serve the law of God with the flesh? What if we want to try so do so right? We want to dress modestly. We want to talk right. We want to go through Titus. We want to do all those things right. We want the working thing to be done right, the husbanding and the wifening. All that stuff to be done right, and we've just been trying for years to do the right thing. What if we're doing it with our strength, which I'll show you here in a minute, with the flesh? And then we've got the mind wanting to serve the law of sin. Our mind is out in this world enough times that we want to do. We become like he says for Demas, lovers of this present world. So our mind is wanting to serve the law of sin, and the flesh is trying to do the right thing. Well, it's not going to last, is it? I mean, that could be one of the major reasons people give up, is because we're really doing this whole thing in our own strength, in our own energy, in our own capacity. And while the mind, what do we feed to our mind? What does our mind see more of? It sees more of the world than it sees anything. And the mind is going to follow that law of sin, the flesh, the temptations, the joy of special effects in movies, the games that everybody has to play, you name it, the horsing around on the horses, the bike stuff, the money it costs for all these things. Our mind is constantly hanging around the sin of this world, the fruits of darkness, it says, the works of darkness. And yet in our flesh, we want to do the right thing because, I don't know, what's your reason? It's cool. It's right. You think you're doing it in the right manner. You're trying to do the right thing. And you see what I'm saying here? So if we're going to get our mind to serve the law of God, we've got to get into that book. We've got to get into that Bible. And I know a lot of the folks that quit are not Bible readers. They'll listen to a sermon or two. Maybe, and they'll get a Paul sermon or two, and they'll probably be fed with some other sermons, if that's the case, in the church situations and all that. Or maybe not even that. Maybe not even getting anything right, but your mind just isn't into the Bible. And that's where you're going to get your mind to serve the law of God. This Bible is the law of God. Rightly divided this thing, this is exactly God talking to us, and the mind of Christ will be, well, we can learn from the mind of Christ here by this Bible. And then we realize what we're trying to do in the flesh, even though it's a good thing, we're going to fight that thing. So Paul's battle was with the mind. He knew what was right. But with the flesh, his flesh did what was wrong. I'm just suggesting the fact that what if we are in our flesh as such, and I know that in Romans chapter 8, just written the next verse, we're not living a life of sin, we're not living in sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm even still talking the fact that we're saved and we understand the scriptures and a legitimate, sincere Paul person. I'm not challenging that with this one. I'm just saying how much of our energy and strength goes in to serving the law of God, and our mind is always out in the world. And that is not going to last very long. You're going to let that leaven take you down one step at a time, and the longer it takes to go down, the faster you're going to go. And your mind is not going to get renewed. It's not going to get strengthened. It's not going to. But you're going to still try to do righter, harder. And you're going to run out of gas. You're going to wear down. You're going to faint, as it says there. So I had that thought going through my mind this week. And so then I've got that kind of mindset going on. And then I run across some things that are interesting that kind of verify that thing. And we see what the people are being taught out in the religion, the conservative world. Like I said, I'm trying to put this together as we go. It's interrupted so many times today, but that's okay. And I saw an article in the paper that takes people down the wrong path. I see in the scriptures of studying the word faint, and it verifies what's going on today in Christianity. Of course it would. And then we see a chapter in Corinthians that people that are the serious Bible studious people claim those verses. And it all goes against the book. So let's do this. If I got the right verses here, we did Romans 7, 24 and 25 there. And Mark, you had a really nice nugget. I was going to have you talk about that tonight, but we'll save it for Sunday or maybe afterwards or something, a marvelous thing that Mark was reading the other day. But let's go here to, I'm going to pull out my little sheet here that's got the word faint printed off. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew 9, 36. And we're going to go to the Gospels here, of course, at first here. Not of course, but just to prove my point here. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. Okay, so here's the word faint. And were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Well, now, let's make this clear. Paul does not use shepherd. He does not talk to us as sheep. And this reference is Gospels. It is the earthly Jesus to the Jewish people. So we're not going to apply this thing to us. But it's there for our learning and admonition. Now let's look at this again in our shoes. We're going to faint. We're going to be scattered abroad because we're not reading our Bible. We have no scriptural leadership, and we're going to faint. That make sense? So if the people have no church to go to because they know it's wrong, and they don't have a preacher or a pastor guiding them and showing them stuff, which is scriptural to have that. There's no leader there to keep track of them, to help them, to steer them into doing good, and to steer them in their joy. It's like, you know, steer them into scriptures as such. And we don't have any brethren that fulfills the scripture to help each other, the fellowship and what we come out of the brethren there. And there's no Bible in these people's lives, and it still boils down to the Bible. What if somebody has a church, and the church leads them? Well, they'll be led into Acts chapter 2, guaranteed. What if you got a preacher that doesn't guide you properly? What if you've got a leader that's leading your family astray? What if you've got brethren that you can't stand to lose your friends, and they're actually steering you wrong and causing you to slowly leaven down? No, our shepherd as such is nothing but the Bible. And so they fainted when they didn't have a shepherd, as sheep having no shepherd, okay? They fainted and were scattered abroad as Christians today with no Bible. There's my application there. Now, Show you some other ones here. Matthew 15. Look at Matthew 15. Did I say Matthew or Mark last night? It was Matthew 9:36 if you didn't have that. Matthew 15:32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Again, you open up your Bible, you're going to get something out of your Bible reading. We have something to eat. So we should not faint in the way. So my point tonight for number 19 is, why would somebody pull away from Paul's teachings? They're not reading their Bible. They're not being led by anything, by no Bible. But they're probably being led by a church teaching wrong stuff, preacher preaching the wrong stuff, a leader leading in the wrong way and down the wrong path, and brethren that are just worthless, not helping you. They love to see you mess up. Brethren that love to see you have a shot of immodesty. Brethren who loves to hear you suddenly get loud and angry. Brethren who love to see you someplace so they don't know why you're there, but they're going to make judgment calls. And they're going to see you entertained. They're going to see you at a party. I mean, all this stuff is going to happen. And Jesus saw these guys, and he said, these people in his day, and said, these people like they have no sheep. And we look at Christians today. Christianity is going about like it has no Bible. Well, it doesn't have a Bible. So anybody that thinks they're not going to fall is going to fall if they're not in their book. Which takes us back to Romans 7:25, the key verse here. Do we find ourselves serving the flesh, our mind serving the law of sin, and our flesh serving the law of God? Our flesh is trying to do the right thing, and we're not getting strengthened and guided properly with our mind. We're going to faint. We're going to run out of gas, just like these folks did. Mark chapter 8, verse 3. Mark chapter 8, verse 3. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. Okay, now, here's these people that came from a long distance and all these different things, and they'll faint. If they just goes back to their own houses, to their own thing, they're going to faint. So what Christ is telling these people, that if they don't come to me, they're going to faint. Well, we find out today that if we don't stay in that Bible, reading that thing and studying it and understanding, we may understand the Paul thing and be satisfied with it, but are you still reading? We're going to faint. And I'm this is number 19. There's so many reasons and so many temptations for us to just give up and quit. And the frustrating thing for me is I don't take it well as a former pastor to some people, or still aware of their lives, or knowing people out there are bagging it. And I just, it really disturbs me. This is really going on. Now, Romans chapter 11:22 tells me it is going to go on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells me there is going to be that falling away. So I got to just quit trying to be such a policeman or something. I mean, this is going to happen. But we're all still supposed to preach the word in season and out of season. If this is where we are in the end of the Philadelphian, then we're out of season. They're not interested in Paul. That's okay. We're still going to preach that stuff. Now, these people, for divers of them came from far, Mark chapter 8. Look at the people we're dealing with today. They're lost, but look at what they're up against. Many different Bibles. Many different church denominations. They're saved out of these things. Okay, let's go one step up. Let's say these people are saved. Okay? But they've been around all these Bibles all their life. They're confused. All these church doctrines and denominations, they're messed up, they're confused. Family traditions, family won't even let you learn the right stuff, let alone do it. The fun and entertainment we have to have today to be happy. The philosophy of this world, the rudiments of this world, the education that's going on. Look at the enemies we have, look at the battles we have. Look at all the people out there deceiving and deceived who are deceiving others. They're bewitching people. And if you get right down to it, there's even people that are specifically against Paul, the conspiracy that's talked about in Acts. Then we got the tough battle. So many more and more people can't read. I mean, they really have a hard time reading the scriptures and getting anything out of it because they have a hard time reading. Devil's won that one. And then, like I've got down here, family and friends. You're going to lose your family, lose your friends if you try to, that kind of a thing. and persecution. So these are all the things that a truly saved person has to deal with to stay with his rightly divided Bible. And when Jesus says, if I send them away fasting to their house, in other words, they're starving for being fed, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. So all of us came from a different zone, a different area. Some people here came from alcohol, from smoking, from all the different vices in this world. And we all battle the same different things. And we've all been somewhere in our past that we're gonna wrestle with. And I'm just looking at what, and we're gonna faint. The whole point here is that we're gonna faint. Now here's the key verse for what I hear in churches today. Luke 18, chapter 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Trying to get this thing together here in my mind here. So there's what people are told today. They're told to pray. The power of prayer. And if they do, they won't faint. Well, how many have prayed and prayed and prayed and the life is still, like they say, where's God? So, they're going to faint. You're going to quit. But they pray. And we see in the modern Christianity today that they want to pray. Well, let's just pray. They go to that thing in Chronicles. If my people that call themselves by my name would just humble themselves and seek my face and pray, he'll heal the nation. Okay, then everybody wants to pray for this nation. But that's not to us. So the similarities are there. People have no Bible, have no shepherd. People don't have a Bible to read, so they're fasting. Not that they're hungry; they're starving for something that we're talking about here, and they faint in the way. And then we got these people that come from so many walks of life that it's just confusing anymore to have all these different Bibles and different things going on. They don't know what to say, what to do. So what do? They pray, because it says in Luke. Well, that's not what we're told. So the conflict here is fainting. The conflict is our flesh serving the law of God? Are we trying to do this in our strength? And our mind is serving the law of sin. Well, let's pray. Pray hard about that. It's not going to change. It's not going to change. We get to Paul's readings about fainting. Never tells us to pray for strength like that. There's a prayer. Now, Paul's got his prayers. Not to be repeated, but Paul has his. We can read the prayers that Paul prayed. And, yeah, we should still have his strength. But are we doing our own strength? Are we doing this whole thing on our strength? Are we serving the law of God with our flesh? That means we're doing it in our strength. Now, before we kind of get into that thing, if we do, there's something else that people are taught today that is having all these difficult things in their life. And this was in our local paper this week. They took debris and stuff out of there and they put something else in here. And they say here, the key, meaning understanding the Bible, understanding God, the key is not education, but obedience. As we act on what we read, the Holy Book comes alive, and we begin to hear and understand the voice of God. However, if we have not obeyed what He's previously revealed to us, why would He give us His deeper truths? Those who fear Him are the ones who obey His commandments and are promised a good understanding. Living a fleshly lifestyle of disobedience to the Lord clouds our eyes, diminishes our ability to hear, and fogs our thinking. When you obey His voice, He'll reveal deeper truths and your understanding will grow. So, the second thing that causes us to faint is to think that we have to walk that clean life before we're going to get anywhere with victory or understand what God has to say. No. Understanding comes from rightly dividing the Word of God. We're not going to obey His commandments. We're not going to become sinless in our sinlessing. Christ takes care of sin. Christ says all things are lawful. Try to do the right thing to please God. If you mess up, I'll still be there to keep you going. You're not going to lose your salvation. He tells us the operation that takes place. All these things are happening. And it's not based on our obedience. Sure, when we do something right, we get encouraged to do something righter or more right, of course. But God's guidance to us is not going to come based on our obedience. I think, let's see, Peter, I don't know Peter very well, Grandma Kench, Bob, me, Mark. If our understanding of Paul is based on our obedience, then maybe we are just up a tree with no leaves because we're not doing good enough in our lives to warrant this kind of understanding about the tribulation coming, all these things, all these doctrines, all these miracles, how to understand your Bible. What, is God giving us that ability because we're leading such obedient lives? Or is it because we've read and understand how to rightly divide the Bible? There's where understanding comes from. So, if we are serving the law of God with our flesh, we're going to faint. We're not going to make it. Go down the list of sound doctrine things and ask yourself, are you doing this? Are you doing this? Are you doing this? Are you doing this under your power? Are you reading your Bible? Are you getting your strength from the Word of God? Well, no, I haven't got time. Then you're doing the right thing in your own flesh. And it's not going to last. Okay, so obedience supposedly gives us the strength. Well, before we park on that one, let's go to another one here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here's what Christians are taught today to get this understanding and to get this victory in one's life, etc., etc., etc. Now, we have talked about this, but it just seems to fit into what we're trying to do here. So people faint because what they're told out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 doesn't come true. And because it doesn't come true, they faint. They find out that what they're trying to do is just in their flesh, serving the mind of God, with the mind serving the law of God, and it's going to fizzle on them. Did I say that right? No, the mind of God is going to serve the flesh, and the flesh is going to serve the mind of God. You're going to give up. For example, now this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, you look at those verses right there, and you preach that to somebody, and get these modern Bible versions, and it's going to tell you that God's just going to teach you stuff. God's just going to show you these things. God's going to give you the deep things of God. And yet, we realize in the same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter 10, verse 13, that what has to be a King James Bible comes about, then all this stuff doesn't get null and void. It just comes through the King James Bible. We know the things that are freely given to us of God because we read our Bibles and rightly divide that stuff. We know that that's not man's wisdom. It's the Holy Ghost teaching to us. But he's teaching it to us through the Bible. The natural man does not understand that Bible, of course, like it says, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So they're foolishness. Well, they think the King James Bible, they think we're fools. So they go about thinking themselves they're spiritual because God has told me that da-da-da-da, so they become, they judge all things, and it says here, they get the mind of Christ. But then they go through some life and they realize that it's not working. They're not in their Bible. They're not serving the mind of God. They're not serving the law of God with their mind. They're serving it with their flesh. And after a while, it fizzles because they're not going to see any action from God. And all we're doing is taking that verse 25 and switching it around. How many of us are or have or will be or whatever serving the law of God with our flesh and serving the law of sin with our mind? We're being taught that what's out there is okay. We're compromising more and more and more. Okay. Now, so there's those three things. We got prayer. We've got this obedience gets God's blessings. And then we've got the Spirit feeding us. Which, if you go back to John chapter 6, I'm just winging my thoughts here because I'm so messed up tonight. John 16 says that. Verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Okay, so these people think that this Holy Spirit out of John is now speaking to them because they are so-called Christian. But those are the ones, they're fainting. And if they're not fainting away from the Paul thing, they don't want the Paul thing in the first place, and they get caught up in the religion of their flesh in these churches, so they get excited, but in all reality, their mind has fainted because you can't show them anything anyway. They're deceived, and they'll be deceiving other people. But why would a Paul person who understands all these things, heard, learned all these things, faint? Because what they're doing right, they're doing it in the flesh. And what their mind is picking up over all these days and days and days of observation, because they're not reading their Bible, they're serving the law of sin. And that isn't going to last forever. You're going to keep relying upon your own strength to keep doing the right thing. Well, you're going to contend with some people, and you're going to strive with some people. We're told not to strive, but they're going to be striving back. We're told to teach. They're not going to want to learn. They're going to mock you for what you're doing with your when you're trying to change your way of life, the manner of life. So it seems like we're still in our flesh. But let's go on to some more verses here. We'll see if we can't put this get together a little bit here. Here's a verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Okay, I like that part, for when we were yet without strength. And yet, modern Christianity is teaching people how to have their own strength. Now, where's my notes here? Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 27. I'm going to show you something here. Luke chapter 10, verse 27, Matthew, Mark, Luke 10:27. See, we don't ignore the Gospels. We don't ignore the whole Bible like people make those claims. A lot of people do. A lot of Paul people do. We don't. Luke 10:27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So whose strength are they relying on in the Gospels? Their own. Whose faith are they relying on in the Old Testament in the Gospels? According to Hosea, their own faith. So whose strength are they being told to... Look at Mark chapter 12. Whose strength are they told to rely on during these days? Their own. Their faith is going to give them their strength. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Thy strength. Well, we know that Christ hasn't died yet. We know that. So, all the teachings here are to the Jews. We know that. And we know that the Jews, all the way from the Old Testament, had to rely on their faith and their strength. So now we've got modern Christians being taught that their faith can grow and that their strength can grow. And that's not true. They would have to turn around Romans 7, 24 and 25 to show that this is what they're being taught to do here. Now, Proverbs 24, 10, here's what it says. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. But see, we don't claim that verse because my strength is small. But we have His strength. So if we're going to fade from Paul's teachings, like so many people are, it's because we're going to start relying on our strength. And we don't have much strength. And when things get tough in the day of adversity, it says, we're going to quit. We're going to faint. I'm just bouncing around here. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, okay? And the strength of sin is the law. But see, now we know all things are lawful. So if we can accept the fact that, and actually understand that all things are lawful, we get those strings attached to keep us pleasing God, but all things are lawful. Christ took care of the law for righteousness, he says there. So if the law is gone, so goes the strength of sin. But yet, as a Paul person, a Paulish following person, do we find ourselves, just like it says there, serving the law of God with our flesh? Are we relying on our sin? Well, the flesh, the strength of sin, the sin is in our flesh. If we're not careful, we're going to put this law on us again. And this is taught, the law is taught in the Gospels, and it's taught in the tribulation. But the law is not taught to us. Now, we know in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, for example, we can run out of strength physically. And just downright physically, we get old, we get tired, we get sickly, we don't sleep enough, we wear out physically. And I want to make sure that we realize here, Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 1:8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. This is a physical strength we're talking about here. But these guys were so worn out. You ever been so worn out you can't read your Bible? Well, you just have to go to sleep. And he's talking about being so worn out here that they didn't even want to live. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Now, maybe you've already thought of this verse. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, there's that verse. The power of Christ may rest upon me. So we can get this magical power. Well, listen carefully here, though. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We don't need physical strength. We don't need a physical, I guess you say the word, strength. The power of Christ is not there to give me physical strength. If you're not sleeping, if you're not eating right, all the prayer in the world and all the obedience to the Scriptures and all this kind of stuff isn't going to help physically at all. Our strength is going to be on the inner man. And that's why Paul says, so with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But if we're going to serve the law of God with our flesh, our physical strength, dressing right, talking right, we're going to run out of steam. It's just not going to last. So, bottom point here for this number 19 about fainting, we faint because we're doing God's work, as such through Paul, with our strength. And our strength doesn't do it. And he still says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So the weaker we are, the stronger we are. But the weaker we are doesn't mean that we're going to be stronger physically. We're not going to be able to stand up to this world. We're not going to be able to stand up to our family. We're not going to be able to stand up to people. I'm going to be able to stand up to ourselves to try to do the right thing because we're going by our strength. And we're not willing to admit we are weak. And we want the power of Christ in our lives to rest upon me. We want the power of Christ to fix our marriages. We want the power of Christ to give us more money. We want the power of Christ to give us new houses. We want the power of Christ to give us more money. That's what we want out of this because that's what they're taught in modern Christianity. Obedience will get blessings from God. Prayer will give you the strength you need. 1 Corinthians 2, God Himself will give us that magical potion that will help us understand things. No, you got to get into that King James Bible, rightly divide that thing. And you will be strengthened in the inner man. Now, here's just a classic verse for what I'm trying to say here tonight. We're going to go to Hebrews, written to the Jews, but it's still a fact. Remember Christ, the New Testament doesn't begin until the death of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16, right? Well, let's look it up here in case anybody wants to get there. So, that's just news to the tribulation folks, but we still can learn. That's a fact. We can still learn that thing. In other words, the Gospels are not the New Testament. Christ is still alive. He's still talking to the Jews. He's still talking law. But if you go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Okay. Now look at this verse 17. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So we're going to go, these Christianity today is going to go back to the Gospels for their strength, and that is where Christ was alive, and that test, there was no strength there. They had to do it on their own strength. But now, while our testator, our Christ, the risen Savior, through Paul, we now have a strength, that's the New Testament. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all. So we got these people trying to live the Beatitudes. We got these people trying to confess their sins and try to live a sinless life. They're trying to obey. They're trying to live obediently. They're trying to realize that God is telling them things without their Bible because they're not reading their Bible. They're serving the law of God with their flesh. They're serving the law of sin with their mind. They're doing the stuff out in this world because that's what they're being fed. And trying to do the right thing, they're doing it without any strength because it's their own strength. And their strength is weakness. And it's not going to happen. So they quit. Here's one in the tribulation. But the God of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So the people are going to get their strength in the tribulation because of their suffering. Now, I realize that suffering makes us stronger people, gives us character. I realize all that. But that's not what we're after here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says something similar to that. Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now people will jump on that verse and they will say, see right there, Christ is going to give me the strength. Well, He's going to give me the strength through my Bible, understanding things, but that doesn't say I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. It says which. So those things that we're doing through Christ, but our mind serving the law of God, not mind serving the flesh, and not the flesh serving the law of God, the mind. Those things that we do through Christ, those things are going to help us grow up. And this is exactly what Paul says in Ephesians and 1 Corinthians 13:11. That becoming a Christian based on the risen Savior, we grow up. We don't do childish things anymore. We get stronger as we read Paul's writings. But it isn't some magical strength from Christ that's going to give us the strength, you know. We have physically in us adrenaline. If you got to suddenly put 50,000 sandbags around your house, you haven't got time to get on your knees and pray. And if you did, your house is still going to flood away. You got to have a physical strength, and after a while, you're going to wear out. So why didn't Christ just keep the water from flooding? The whole nation is praying right now. In fact, I think some states actually prayed for rain about 6 months ago. Texas did, and now here we have too much water. So what went awry there? Did somebody in that little circle around the flagpole pray the wrong thing? It's just silly stuff. What we got here? More things down here. That should do it on those verses right there. Like I say, I just couldn't put this all together today because so many things were going on. I couldn't concentrate at all. Let's go look at Paul's writings now. No, before we do the Paul thing, we are in the tribulation with Peter. Here's another verse. Hebrews 12:3. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So, we got people that are going to be going through horrible persecution. For consider him that endured such contradictions, the same thing that we're going through, he went through. So consider that, and you won't give up. Oh, you won't? Well, Jesus went through it. Yeah. But why do I have to go through it? I thought he loved me. Blah, 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 blah. Hebrews 12:5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Well, why should we be fainting when we get rebuked? Because he's not going to rebuke us. He's not going to chasten us. So why should we wear out and faint? Now, you read your Bible, and you will be chastened. You read your Bible, and you'll be rebuked and reproved. But if you don't want that, then don't read your Bible. And then you won't faint. See, we've got people that get the truth from the risen Savior, and they quit. I gave you 18 reasons in the last couple of weeks. One more reason is the fact that you're serving the mind of God, you're serving the law of God with your flesh. Neighborhood noise. We're serving the law of God with our flesh, and we're serving with our mind the law of sin. We got totally backwards. Christianity has it actually totally backwards when it comes to fainting. If you think you're going to faint, pray. No, if you think you're going to faint, get into that book. If you think you're going to faint, then start obeying God. That's not going to change. You're doing something right, but you might be doing it in the flesh, as we're trying to put it this way. Even though we're separated from the flesh, I realize all that, but we're still, our mind is in this fleshly world of fruits and the works of darkness. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Galatians 6:9. So Paul, people are fainting all over the country. If they're not just fainting and quitting, speaking against it, they're going worldly. They're becoming lovers of this present world. They're not avoiding who they should avoid. This is a form of fainting. They're fainting when it comes to what Paul teaches us to do and not to do. And as a result of that, we crash eventually. And modern Christianity, well, come on, let's just pray. Let's just obey what God says. And let's go by the leading of the Spirit. I think I wrote it down someplace here. Oh, somebody will say it's between you and God. The issue you have is between you and God. Okay, how do you deal with something that's between you and God? Okay, you pray, and he's going to tell you something in your little heart. That's common stuff today. No. You get into your Bible and you pray. Of course you pray, but you get into that Bible and God through the Holy Spirit will preach to you through that Bible and things can change. But we don't want to change. Acts 26:18 tells us to change our lives from the power of Satan, power of Satan unto God. Acts 26 says here, open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. We don't want to. From the power of Satan unto God. We don't want to. But we'll still in our flesh do the right thing because we look good. Because we got to have church. We got to have all this kind of stuff. And after a while, my whole point here tonight, if you don't understand it yet, is you're going to faint. You're going to give up. We've got to stay in that book. He says again, 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, that's our flesh, full of sin, which it will, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How? Hearing the Word of God. Anyway. Hope I got that point across tonight. Look at Revelation 3:8. I still believe we're in the Philadelphian church age. We can't be in the Laodicean church age because there would be no church then during the tribulation. And so, but we're sure not in the best part of the tribulation of the Philadelphia church. Laodicean church says God can spew us out of his mouth. That's lose your salvation. That's where he's chasing us. And that's the hour of temptation, it says in the Philadelphian church. We're saved. We're kept from that. Verse 10, Revelation 3:10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, doesn't mean obey, like modern Bible says. It means kept. The word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. So we can't be in the Laodicean church age because that's the church of the tribulation. Because it says, which shall come upon all the earth to try them that dwell upon the earth. My point is this. We go down to verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. And we've got people trying to get, we've got pastors and preachers trying to get you to strengthen up. And we're actually kicking in the flesh. Churches are being led by the flesh now. The music is fleshy. The preaching is fleshy. It's to bring the lost world to your church. That you got to do the flesh. You got to do the fruits and the works of darkness to get in your church, to get people in the dark to come into your dark church. They're going to stay away from the light. Men love darkness. It's amazing what's going on today. And those that do know are quitting. Why? Well, their flesh is serving the law of God and their mind is serving the law of sin. We're just engulfed in this world. So we are at a time where we have little strength. There's a falling away, 2 Thessalonians. Romans 11, 22. More and more Gentiles don't want to have anything to do with the goodness of God. So don't think that we can witness. What did I say wrong to this person? He didn't get it. Well, he's probably not going to, but at least you said something. And there you go. So that was number 19. That's about fainting. I hope that made sense. I don't know. I'm not even sure I can even go back and write these notes in the order we did it. But just remember Romans 7:25, because we're wearing down. Because the lots of stuff we're doing it on our strength, not His. And the weaker we are, the stronger He will be. And we still have physical things to overcome. But God isn't going to magically help me lose weight. I've got to go out and do it. I've got to, see what I'm saying? But He can give me the strength to have the attitude to do it, da-da-da-da. Anyway. People are quitting because they're painting.